So we have been in Marshfield for 3 years, but 7 years before that, we both worked at a Chinese government hospital. Jason was an infectious disease doctor, and I was a master-level doctor. I'm a nurse practitioner, but that's what that meant there in their pediatric outpatient department. I'm going to just start by praying again. Holy Spirit, we just ask and welcome your Spirit to be here. We just pray that what we need to hear, you will open our ears and our hearts to hear. God, I pray that you will become more and I will become less. In your name, amen. One of the things that we did before we went to China is we knew how important prayer was. And, you know, international workers raise support. The CMA is raised through the Great Commission Fund. So we didn't have to go around to churches getting support, but we did go around to churches saying, please pray. And one of the ways we did it is we had a calendar and we said, could you pick an important date on a month, whether it's your birthday or your anniversary, some date, and promise that every time that date comes up during the month that you would pray for us that day. There was one man in our rural church in Michigan who, he's on the Asperger's syndrome spectrum, and so socially it was hard for him. He didn't always pick up certain things. He sometimes didn't get jokes or took things a little too literally. He really zoned in on praying for us on the second of every month. And every single third of every month, we got an email from this man saying, we prayed for you. These are the things we prayed for. And it was so encouraging. In fact, this man continues to do it for our family. The second or third of every single month, we still get an email from him saying, we're still praying for you, for the ministry that you're doing in Marshfield, for your work in the hospital. We just felt like his prayers were like gold. They were amazing. And so today we're going to talk about why we pray for missions, why we pray for the ministries that we do in our churches, and what we pray for. And we're going to use the Lord's Prayer as our template. If you want to use your pew Bible, it's located on page 811. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version, but about the same. So if you want to go, it's going to be Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 9. And this is the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and teaching them how to pray. Actually, I think I'm going to start up in 5 just to give it better context. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, the question comes up sometimes. I'm sure everyone at some point has thought this question. Why do we need to pray? If we have a God who is so powerful, who knows everything, who wants something to happen in our world, who's bringing his kingdom and has a plan, why do we have to pray? Why doesn't he just do it? And then a question will come up of what do we even pray for? Well, the question of why do we need to pray, I see in the beginning of this prayer that Jesus gives us. This very simple prayer that has a lot of richness in it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's an act of humility to come before God and to say, you are God and I am human and I need your help. I am not rich enough to solve this problem. I am not smart enough to solve this problem. I do not have enough network of friends in power. I do not have enough creativity. I do not have enough resources, God. I have a big problem, or this ministry is really hard, and I need your help. God in heaven, you are holy. You can do this. Please help us. When we lived in Xining, it was in northwest China. It was a very religious city. A lot of huge Muslim population, huge Tibetan Muslim Buddhist population. Also, the Han Chinese are Buddhists, just a different Buddhism than the Tibetan Chinese. And as international workers, there was people from all kinds of different organizations from all over the world working in our city, trying to make inroads of establishing churches and bringing disciples of Jesus to a understanding of what it is to be a disciple. It was such a hard task. It was so exhausting. We had so many pressures from every side. And Paul says we're hard pressed from every side. We were hard pressed from every side. Every single meeting that we had, prayer was a huge chunk. Our school board meetings, we had huge amount of time spent in prayer. The hospital workers, we got together every week and prayed for an hour during lunch just about our patients and about the politics in the hospital. The women's group, we got together. We would pray for about an hour after worship. We prayed and we prayed. Our small group meeting, half the small group meeting was prayer requests for the small group. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And basically, we were crying out to God saying, God, we can't do this. Only you can do this. And so when you pray for people who are working overseas that you know of, or when you are praying for ministries in this church or in this state, like Ruby's Pantry or the youth group or the women's Bible study, one of our first steps is to come to God with humility and say, God, I don't have it all. We need you to help us. Another reason that we need to pray is because for some reason, God has caused us to be part of his work, and prayer is part of that. When it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Part of his will being done and part of his kingdom coming is he has said, you will be workers in this kingdom and you will be part of my will being done on earth. There's a crazy mystery to that. But somehow with prayer, there's a cause and effect. There's a causality. When we pray, God answers. I think of it in the, there's a series of books my kids read. I don't know if anyone has boys. Usually it's only boys who read the Percy Jackson series. It's just an action series that's kind of popular right now. And I read one of the books, or maybe a couple of the books with the kids. And one night I was in the shower and I was thinking about this and I thought, there in this book has a great example of prayer. Because in Greek mythology, there's these giants who are trying to take over the world. This is Greek mythology and that he put into these books. And there are these demigods who are trying, teenage demigods who are trying to run around and save the world, but they can't defeat the giants unless a god shows up and the demigods show up at the same time to defeat the giants. And I thought, huh, even in the Greek mythology, they have a sense that there is a working together of people and God for God to work, and we don't know why. But it's almost like he's given us this privilege to say, you will be part of this work, and part of this is by praying. And it's also a relationship. I think God doesn't want to just be sort of this person who just meets all our needs without us asking. I think of The Magician's Nephew that C.S. Lewis wrote, and in that there's a story of Diggory and Polly. They have to go, they're given this quest by Aslan that they have to go and get an apple, and the seed from that apple will be planted to grow a tree that will then sort of be the redemption, part of the redemption of Narnia after it's been corrupted. And so they go on this flying horse to go get this apple far away, and they land for the night. They haven't gone to the garden yet, and the horse is eating grass, and he's totally fine, and the two little children are there hungry. And they say, well, you would have thought that someone would have arranged for us to have some food. And then the little girl says, well, I think Aslan could have done it if he wanted to. And then the horse looks at them and says, but I sort of have the idea he likes to be asked. And I think that's a great example that God wants us to pray. But it is also our great work that we can join with him in doing. So when you pray for the people who are working overseas, pray that that God's will be done, that his kingdom will come. And as you pray, you are joining with the thousands of Christians in our whole history, starting with Jesus, who prayed for his disciples, to Paul, who prayed for the early churches, just like was read in Colossians 4, to the churches and the Christians, all of the ages, who have prayed for the kingdom of God to be coming and for the will of God to be done. You will be joining in a great work. Prayer also tills the soil. Sometimes we don't see results quickly, and sometimes that's discouraging. Sometimes we wonder, this has no use. Maybe God doesn't hear, or he has a different plan. And possibly he does have a different plan. But sometimes I think we need to be patient. We need to realize that the fruit that we're looking for, we're just at the beginning. And we are tilling the soil, waiting for more steps until we see that harvest. When we first went to China, one of the things, well, first of all, when we didn't know where we would be working. I always said that it was like we were walking on a road that God was around the corner still building. We didn't know where we'd be working. We just went. We said, we're going to learn Chinese for 2 years. Let's hope we get a job. And that's a whole other story. That's an amazing story of prayer, of us getting a job at this hospital. But one of the things my dad said as we left, before we had a job, is he said, I am going to pray that you will influence the hospital from the top down. Now, I don't know if any of you who work in Marshfield Clinic, if you had a parent praying that you would influence Marshfield Clinic from the top down, you would say, well, that might be a bit of a big job for one person. And so we were sort of like, okay, yeah, you can pray that, but I don't know. In my heart, I thought, that's a pretty big prayer request, Dad. But my dad's a faithful man of prayer. Every single day, he wakes up and prays for every single person in our family. It is a great gift that he's given to our family. And I would encourage you, as parents and grandparents, to pray for your family. So we had been in Sheening at the Red Cross Hospital for about 3 years, maybe in our fourth. Jason had sort of developed this ministry on one-on-one discipleship with people. And so he was sort of gaining a reputation within the house church that if educated people were looking to follow Jesus, they had questions about Jesus, or if they'd just become Christians, that he was a good person to read the Bible with them and study the Bible. In fact, one time he got a phone call when he was at the hospital, and they said, you need to come down to the hospital gate, which was a little cryptic, but usually if something's cryptic, it means they know that most of our phone calls were recorded, our text messages were read, so they didn't want to say too much. So Jason was like, okay. So he comes down to the hospital gate, and a lady's there, and she said, there's a pharmacist, and his sisters are Christians, but he won't believe, so will you read the Bible with him? And so Jason started reading the Bible with him, and you'll have to ask him about that story because that's a great story as well. I'm giving you all these stories that you have to leave you hanging on. But we were at a Christmas party, I think about 3 years into it, 4 years into it. Christmas party at the apartment of the head of the hospital, Zhang Yuanzheng, very top guy. His wife was a Christian, but he really was a universalist. He felt like all religions were good, all religions would get you to God. And we're eating and talking. The kids are running around. Just a small little apartment. And suddenly Jason disappears. And I thought, well, maybe too many people. He went for a walk. I don't know. So at the end of the party, we kind of find Jason again. We all go home. And he said, yeah, so Zhang Yuanzheng called me into his office, his home office. And we were talking, and he said, would it be okay if I read the Bible with you? Could I study the Bible with you? And I was like, oh my goodness. This prayer that my father had prayed like 4, 7, 5 years before, that we would influence the hospital from the top down, was being answered. Something that I thought would never, ever happen. And so Jason started a long period of reading the Bible with this man. Our prayers sometimes take a long time. In our hospital, there's 3 prayer rooms at the hospital we worked in. There was a Tibetan prayer room, a Muslim prayer room, and a Christian prayer room for patients and staff, whoever wanted to go in there. And so every Monday at lunch, all of the Christian workers would come to the Christian prayer room, and for an hour we would pray. You know, it had been going on for years and years. Well, in our hospital, there were some Christians from Beijing who came, and there was a Christian nurse in our hospital, Christian pharmacist. These are all Chinese workers that were in our hospital. And some Christians from Beijing found out about them, and they came to our hospital, and they said, we would really like there to be a crisis pregnancy center. Would you be willing to have this in your hospital? And so they talked to the head of the hospital, who Jason was reading the Bible with, and he said, sure. Yeah, well, you can have a crisis pregnancy center so that every woman who had a positive pregnancy test would go through this department and would talk about their pregnancy. And I'm not kidding when I say this, would say, you've taken Tylenol. It's okay. You don't have to have an abortion. There was just a whole lot of information that was misinformation. And so to sort of clarify things for people, and they would get an ultrasound, things like that. Well, the head of the international group that sort of trained people to set up these crisis pregnancy centers was from the United States. And one day he came and he spoke at our international fellowship. And he said, we have been trying for years to get into China. We have been trying for years to find any place in China willing to do a crisis pregnancy center. We have pregnancy centers all over the world. When I heard that this hospital way out west in China had started this crisis pregnancy center, I just had to come to find out why, because I couldn't believe it. And I came here and I talked to people, and when I had realized that for 7 years you had been meeting together in prayer, and one of the things that you consistently prayed against was the spirit of death, I understood. Because that is one of the things we prayed against. We saw so many children abandoned. We saw not just abortion, but children who had been born. We saw so much of the spirit of death not giving people hope. And we prayed against that spirit, pushing that spirit of darkness and saying, God, bring your light and your truth and your hope into this hospital. Our prayers till the soil. It might take 7 years. You might be praying for a ministry that's just struggling or having fledgling things happening. You might be praying for people overseas who are discouraged because they have been there 3 years or 10 years, and maybe there's just one person who's believed. But we are called to pray. We are called to pray, and God will do this work. The next question is, what do we pray for? And we see this in the Lord's Prayer. We come down to the next section, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, sometimes when I don't know what to pray for people, you know, if you ever see me on the trail by my house talking, I'm not crazy, I'm just talking and praying. And sometimes if I'm kind of at like an impasse and I don't know, like, how do I pray for this? Sometimes I will just go through the Lord's Prayer and apply the Lord's Prayer to the situation. And when we get to give us this day our daily bread, it's not just our material needs. You can say, God, give them what they need for their visas so they can stay in the country. Give them ideas so that they can have a business that actually works and thrives and gives them some good reputation in the community. Give them what they need, the stamina they need to do their job. Give them good health. Give them spiritual nourishment, God. Help them to be fed as they are feeding others. There's so much that we can pray, and we can pray these for the leaders of our ministries, for our pastors, for our women's Bible study leaders. Give them their daily bread, God, so that they can do the work they're doing. And then we come down to the next line that says, forgive us our sins. And this is from Luke. This is Luke's version of it. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who sins against us. Do you think international workers and pastors and ministry workers still make mistakes? Do you still think they might need to go to God and say, I'm sorry, I need to be forgiven? Yes, we all need Jesus every day. And so one of the things that we can pray is, first of all, God, forgive me if I've done anything wrong, and give them the soft heart to ask for forgiveness, but also to forgive the people that are hurting them. Because when you are working in ministry, there is a constant battle of people who say and do things that hurt. It's just the reality. And yet they, as workers and as ministers, they need to forgive. And that can be exhausting. And we can pray, God, help them to be able to forgive. Give them that grace and your strength to do it. And I just want to say that if there's anyone here who feels like that you have something that you haven't forgiven, maybe someone that you've been holding a grudge against, or you have a bitterness and you just want to hold on to that because that's the only way you can punish them, I just want to say, get rid of that. God says he's the one who punishes. That's his job. It's not ours. Give yourself the freedom to forgive others so God can forgive us, as it said in our reading. And finally, at the very end of this chapter, of this passage, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, you know that what will trigger me to become angry. You know, God, what situation will cause me to sin. You know what situation will give me a huge amount of temptation. God, please have mercy on me and lead me the other way. Please have mercy on me and help me to walk a different way, God. Steer me a different way, God. God, I don't want to be led this way. I want to go this way. And please be with our workers and help them not to be moving into areas of temptation that will just completely destroy all that they've been trying to do. We can pray that for our workers. And then deliver us from the evil one. Even today, as Aaron prayed for the service, he prayed that Satan would not have power and that he would be far away from this building. That is a very valid prayer to pray. When we lived in Sheening, we so felt the tension and the struggle between evil and sort of the work of God and all the things that were trying to change that and obstruct that. You know, Jesus, when he prayed for his disciples in John 17, he said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We need to pray this for our workers. We need to pray this for our church. We need to pray this for people who are in ministry and the ministries that we are in. We need to say, God, please protect us from the work of Satan that wants to destroy this or wants to destroy what they're doing. And what are some of the things that you can pray for? You can pray about government problems. All the stresses and the red tape and the bureaucracy governments put on any person who wants to move to another place and work. You can pray about corruption. You can pray against illness. You can pray against money problems. You can pray against teams splintering because they've had disagreements. You can pray against fatigue and discouragement that might come on. There was one time at the Red Cross Hospital where we were getting bombarded with foreigners who needed to be hospitalized. It was a big deal to get hospitalized in our hospital. One, they didn't have nursing care like we do. So the family members have to bring all the food, take the person to the bathroom. There's no private bathroom. You have to go across the hall. It's really dirty. There's just a whole, that hospital was just a whole different place to be. And it was really stressful for someone who was used to Western hospitals to come and have to stay at that hospital. And whenever that happened, it put a lot of stress on us as the medical workers because we really wanted to make sure they got the best care. So we were always making sure that someone was bringing them food. We had to really make sure that all the stuff that was being ordered was right. We had to kind of decrease their stress, but it kind of increased our stress. And there was a December right before Christmas, which I thought was interesting because everyone in China knew that Christmas was a big holiday for Christians. It was right before Christian, and all these foreigners were starting to get sick. We had someone with a ruptured appendix who was septic. We had a cellulitis that was moving. It was like 1 millimeter from the brain or 1 centimeter from the brain. We had 2 concussions that were severe concussions of children that had to stay overnight. We had broken bones that needed surgery. It was just kept on coming. And they weren't all from the same. I don't know if they realized there were so many foreigners who were getting admitted to this hospital. Finally, I was like, this is so abnormal. This has to be a spiritual attack. And so I started calling all the leaders of all the groups saying, could you please pray against this? Because we are getting exhausted. And so they just started to all pray. And then it all stopped. No more. It was just like a calm. We can pray against the work of Satan. It is something that we are called to do. So to recap for the Lord's Prayer, as we pray for international workers and as we pray for the ministries that we're involved in, we say, God, you are holy and you are God and we need you. Please bring your will to our earth. As we work and do your work, please, we want to see your kingdom come. And come, Lord Jesus, because that would be great. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we say, give us this day our daily bread. Give them what they need, whether it be spiritual or physical or mental, whatever it is, God, please provide it. Give us what we need to continue our work. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. Help us to be honest about what we've done wrong. And give us the strength and courage to forgive other people who harm us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, please be with us and walk with us and protect us against those areas that tempt us. And God, please keep evil far away. So I would like us all to recite the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to have you stand up. You can recite it in any language you learned it in any version you learned it in. And at the end, we are going to add the statement of praise that has been put into the different church liturgies for hundreds of years. That is not found in the Bible, but is now very much part of church tradition. And that is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that comes at the end. Okay? So we're going to pray this prayer, and you can pray it with thinking of a family in mind or a ministry in mind, or you can thinking of an international worker. But we will lift these prayers to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to pray. You can be seated if you want. Holy God, we just come before you and we acknowledge that you are God. And there is so much that we do in ministry that we require your help. We need you, God, every hour. We pray that as we go forth into our jobs and into our ministries, and we pray for the people that are around the world, the pastors of churches from those countries, the workers, those who are lay people who are doing all of this work, God, we pray that you would empower them today, that you would encourage them today. We pray that you would push back any evil that is trying to hinder your work. In the name of Jesus, we ask for your power to do that. And we ask for the ministries of this church. We ask that you would be present and that your will would be done and that your kingdom would come here. In your name, amen.